wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
What will our vanity get us? What are we rich in our earthly lives? You know, anything that we esteem and hold as an idol before us are the things that we consider we are rich in. Riches, it's those things we have amassed to ourselves. It's those abilities we have. I mean, you know, name it. Name your personal attributes, those things that make up your character, those things that are on your resume, you know? Those are riches. Your abilities are riches. There are many things that we are rich in. But the fact that they fade is something that should keep us from turning these things into idols. You know, there's a ton of truth in the end of James 1:11. We have to treat things like God will take them away from us tomorrow. Like I say, are you ready? If your soul is required of you at this moment. Well, I say the Lord said it. Jesus said it. These things that James speaks about become vanity to those of us who lift them up, who praise our own abilities, who are rich in our amassed goods. Take a good, hard look at yourselves. For Christ's sake, I pray. Speaking of Christ, Jesus says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not, don't you know that you are wretched and poor and miserable and blind and naked? Why? Why? Because your God is your things. Your God is your earthly life. Gee, is that so hard to understand? Yeah. Rich in goods, healthy, wealthy, cocky, self-assured, and proud of it. And we can safely add much to the description in Revelation 3 without adding to the Word of God. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. He flourishes for a season, is what it's saying. Ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor, which appeareth for a little while, and then vanisheth away. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. How many scriptures have we heard this in just now, recently? What are they trying to tell us, saints? What is God trying to tell you, saints? I tell you the truth. If, capital I, capital F, if we understand our dusty origin, the sovereignty and mercy of God, and Romans 8:28, we are standing upon the spiritual ground zero. We are standing at the very beginning of the faith we have been given. With God in control and with our wills totally surrendered to God, we are standing upon the bare floor, which is the top of the foundation that has been laid by Jesus Christ, which is Jesus Christ. And thus, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. 1 Corinthians 3:10. Once we've received our faith, we must be careful and wise in building the spiritual house, the temples in which the Spirit of God resides. To put it in Jesus' own words, be not deceived. Be careful what you're building on that foundation. A wise man builds his foundation on rock, not on sand. Okay. What is built upon that foundation? The house itself. Is that house sturdy? Are you building and adding to your faith to make your house sturdy? Is it made out of stone? Of the same nature as your foundation, rock? Or is it wood? Or is your roof thatch and not slate? Will the winds come and blow your house down? Jesus, the foundation always remains, but what are you building upon your foundation, folks? Will it stand when the winds blow and the waters come? Don't know. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. Gee, that's pretty. And what does he do that for? To set them among princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. 1 Samuel 2:8. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, lifts up the beggar from the dunghill. Yeah, the poor, the meek, the foolish things of this world. Praise God. The saints of the living, patient, loving, merciful, terrible, and long-suffering God, sanctify yourselves and the living temples that you are, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Saints, you are the priests now. Each of you, each one of you, belong to a holy order and a royal priesthood. You serve one master, all of you. In the backslidden, apostate world of fast, easy, and loose Christianity, in or out of the beast's whorehouses, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. In the apostate church world, in or out of the whorehouses, they are a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Proverbs 30:12. And this harmonizes with Proverbs 14:12. The times are perilous, they are treacherous, and they are shorter than most imagine. The Apostle John tells us, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. 1 John 2:18. Don't wait for the man of perdition to be revealed. Don't. You have much battle to do against the wiles of the many antichrists who cover the planet with a plague of deception now. They're in your churches, your ex-churches, in some of your family members. They're against you. Good. They're against Christ then. Don't be afraid. Do your battle. The 6 inches in front of your face. Do your battle. Don't stretch your shield out across time and wait for something and someone to come along like the man of perdition. You got that shield stretched out, you're going to catch one in the chest. You know? Shields and swords, short swords, they were for close-up, close-order combat. And are we warring in the spirit? Close order? You know, face-to-face? Don't look too far ahead, saints. It's not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. And by the way, John, the Apostle John was living in the last time. There's no question about it. No, this doesn't help the preterist cause any. No, this is the last time. The last time began when Jesus Christ's ministry to his Father and to the world ended with his ascension, when he left the planet. Read your Bible. That's when the wolves came out of the bushes. You know, when the master was gone. All that's left of the master's house now are his stewards taking care of it. That's us. We're taking care of ourselves, our houses, our spiritual houses. You know, we're praying, thy kingdom come. It ain't come yet. It's in our hearts, amen. It hasn't come to this world. Don't be so impatient for Christ's coming. Now, I say this only because some of us aren't focused upon our walk, and we may be found wanting if our souls are required of us in the meantime. I say it again. You get ready, and you stay ready, saints. We have to get our acts together. We have to get our spiritual ducks in a row. And we have to start with duck number one. We can't start with duck number 10. We can't start at the end. We have to go back to the beginning. We have to go back to basics. I used to tell that to the people I was over at one time in my life. I had people under me. I was in command. You know, I tell them, if you got any questions, go back to the beginning. Go back to your basics. Go back to your basic training. You know, start there. And work yourself all the way up to where that kink in the chain is right now. We have to do this, saints. It's the only way we're going to make it. This is all part of examining ourselves. This is all part of working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Our salvation wasn't given to us that we can say, I'm saved today. You're still here. You're still fighting a fight. You call yourself saved now. That completely negates Philippians 2:12. It negates a lot of other scriptures that Paul spoke of. Paul even said that after he was done, you know, preaching and doing his work and standing up for the saints and seeing them grow in grace and such, that at the very end, you know, he was afraid that he would be cast away. Cast away. By whom? The saints? No, by God. Paul was working out his salvation until the very end. I'm not trying to ram this down anybody's throat. Read your Bible. Paul worked out his salvation in fear and trembling all the way to the end. A certain knowing must come upon us at the very end. A peace comes upon us to know that we're spent, we're poured out like Paul was, like many others were. We can't not know we will be received by our Lord. You know, there's no point in our walk where we can be completely assured, as one apostate former brother had said to me once, there's got to be a cutoff point to where we know we're saved. I said, well, you're not reading your Bible then. Of course, I caught hell, and I had to fend off a bunch of spirits, bad spirits. And the attacks came, and they went, but, you know, there is no cutoff point. We are in sin when we look for other assurances beyond what we get from our faith, beyond our hope, our belief, our faith, our, in the things unseen. That's why some people take legalism on. It's a little insurance policy. You know, it makes them look good, well-ordered, keeping the law, something they can grasp. That's not faith. That's not faith. You live by the law, you die by the law. Anyway, it's time to wrap this up. What will we have done with our gifts and our calling? Will we have answered God and suffered as Christ, or will we have followed a way that seemed right? We are here for a season, saints, and only a season. And we shall not be even a memory to the world in which we once passed through. For all things shall pass out of memory. Only the Word that created it all will live forever. And thus the souls and spirits he has saved. in the end. The vine is dried up. Even all the trees of the fields are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. These are our times. These are our days. This is our lot. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity.
What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north, it whirleth about continually. And the wind returneth again, according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, See, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, As it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, That this also is vanity. But there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have shown myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom, and in knowledge, and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein, shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity, and a great evil. What hath man of all his labor, and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. But there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Better is an handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor, and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. But if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice, and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities. But fear thou God. If thou seest the oppression of the poor, and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches, kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. But man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare. so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them.
Wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. But one sinner destroyeth much good.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it.
Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity.
All is vanity, is vanity.
Get your shields up. You keep to the road.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas great far, and grace will lead us home. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now
I'll see you again if God is willing and the cricks don't rise.
He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Shall be saved.
If you are led to help keep the broadcast on the air, you may send support to the ministry here. If you are sending a check or a money order, please write WWCR on the payee line and I will forward it to the station. The ministry address is The Narrow Way, P.O. Box 60, Wrensville, Pennsylvania 18818, USA.
This has been brought to you by TheNarrowWay.net.